really, what's really cool about the Course in Miracles, and I try to remind myself and remind people when they come to the class, is that the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to give you a new interpretation of everything that you're going through, so that you can maintain peace of mind. Based on the premise that the once that you have peace of mind, you can hear your own inner guidance at that point. And then your inner guidance, you can call it God, spirit, love, whatever works for you. And once you hear that inner guidance, you're specifically directed about how to handle whatever situation or perception of any situation that you're having right now. So it's really about giving myself enough peace of mind that I can hear the voice, because one of the premises of the Course is that we're always being guided. And we're always being, like, people are always saying, well, if there is a higher power, why don't I hear it? Well, the Course has a very simple reason. It says, because you're listening to your own voice. And I went, yeah, that sounds right. Usually, all day long, I'm listening to what I'm telling myself in my mind. And I bet you do too. And if you're thinking all day, and then you're acting on what you're telling yourself, right? And that's what the Course says. He just says, well, that's your voice. And the reason why we're doing it is out of fear, out of a sense of separation and fear. And so it drowns out the guidance. And so through learning how to, come up here. Come up here in the circle. There you go. Yeah, hey, brother. What's your name?
Dave.
Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl. So the once we achieve peace of mind, that's when we can hear our guidance. So that's what the Course is basically about. And it says the rule, so the rules to being able to change your mind and to hear is to, when you're listening to the material, there's just a few guidelines. Very interesting guidelines that come right from the Course itself. First thing it says is you don't have to believe it. That believing that you have to believe what I say, or you've been asked to believe it, he says, blocks hearing it. Because if a person thinks they have to believe it and they don't, then they spend all their time trying to figure it out rather than just hearing what's being said. It took me a minute to get why that would be a great suggestion. Because if I think this way and you tell me something completely opposite, well, the only way I can really hear this is to temporarily suspend my need to believe it long enough to just hear what's being said. Okay? So, because I guarantee you, if it's new, it's going to be different. And if you're trying to have a different kind of experience than what you already are having, then you need to hear something different from what you're telling yourself. See, that just sounds like common sense to me. So, if I'm miserable, the truth is probably going to be something that's just the opposite from what I believe. But because it's the opposite from what I believe, I'm going to have a lot of resistance to it. So when you're truly hearing something new, your first reaction probably is not going to be total acceptance. It's going to probably be total resistance, especially if it's totally opposite to the way you set it up for yourself. Because in most cases, what we do is we set up a premise for ourselves, and then we try to make everything conform to it. I come up with my idea of what it should be like, then I spend the rest of the time trying to get everything to be the way I want it, which is the hard way. But it's real popular. And I always tell people in the class, you can hang on to your way of doing things. He says, you don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of the stuff that you hear may be startling. And then he says, some of the stuff is going to be flat out hard to believe. He says, but if you use it, you will see that it works. So I've been doing it 28 years, and here's what happens. Most people think the way to get the Course is to analyze it. And so they start analyzing every concept and everything that they hear. When you do that, the only thing it does is destroy the meaning of it. And you end up becoming more disoriented and more confused than you were in the first place. And then what happens when you do that is you just let it go and you don't even try to do it at all. Because it won't fit into the old way of thinking. So when you try to analyze it, usually what you're doing is trying to make it fit into the way that a person already believes. They're really trying to kind of make this fit. But what am I trying to make it fit into? I'm trying to make it fit into a way of thinking that I already have, that obviously isn't bringing me the kind of peace and happiness that I really want, or I'd be feeling more peace and more joy and more fulfillment. So just open your mind up to hearing something different. And what I've been covering in the book is the preface, and it's the section of the preface that talks about what the Course in Miracles says. So it's more or less like an overview of what it's saying. And I left off at Roman numeral 11, which is kind of like XI in the preface of what it says. And I'm going to cover that last paragraph on that page is where we left off last time. And like I said, I welcome questions and I welcome discussion, and realize, like I said again, it's okay if you don't agree with it. It's okay if you don't get it. It's okay. It's cool. And if you do that, if you do get it, that's great. Either way it goes, it's cool. It says, sin is defined as lack of love. Since love is all there is, sin in the sight of the Holy Spirit is a mistake to be corrected rather than an evil to be punished. Our sense of inadequacy, weakness, and incompletion comes from the strong investment in the scarcity principle, which governs the whole world of illusions. From that point of view, we seek in others what we feel is wanting in ourselves. That means we love another in order to get something ourselves. He says that is in fact what passes for love in this, what the Course calls this dream world. There can be no greater mistake than that, because love is incapable of asking for anything. So if I have a sense of inadequacy, then I believe there's a scarcity of love in me. And if I believe there's a scarcity of love in me, then I'm looking for people who have qualities that I think are lacking in myself. And so I'm really trying to get with you for something I can get to complete myself. And that's coming out of my sense of being incomplete. Okay? And everybody follow that. I feel insecure. I feel inadequate. I don't really know that I'm really loved. I don't really know love. So I think something is missing in me. I'm going to find somebody who's going to give me what I think I'm missing. He says, that's what happens on most Saturday nights in Denver. Okay? People get really dressed up, really cute, so they can go out and get. Okay? And if you're lucky, you'll meet somebody who wants to get from you as much as you want to get from them. And then he says, we see that as a relationship made in heaven. I feel lack, and I think you can fulfill it. You feel lack, and you like the way I look, and you think I can fulfill it. And we get together to try to fill each other's hole up, so to speak. Okay. All right. So the Course says, that ain't love. Okay? That's not love. That's coming from a sense of scarcity. But that's just a mistake. It's not a sin. It's not something you should feel guilty about or something that you need to be punished for. That's what the first paragraph just said to us. If we're doing it, it's just a mistake. It's not a crime. It's just a mistake. So what does that tell me? If I meet you and you don't have a healthy sense of self-esteem, and you don't feel good about yourself, and you don't feel like you are enough, then I know whether you're conscious of it or not, you're going to try to get because you think something is missing. And so you're going to need me to try to make you feel what you don't feel for yourself. Got it? And if that's the case, then you're going to get upset when I pay some attention to her. Because then you're not going to get your feeding. Because some of the food is going to her. And that's the why. And that's one of the reasons why we're so jealous and possessive when we're in a fearful mind. There's not enough love to go around. I got a big hole in me. You're the one that's supposed to fill it. And you better not give anybody else any other attention, because that's taking something away from me. Does that sound familiar to everybody? Okay, so that's what the Course calls a fear-based perspective. That's a perspective coming from fear instead of love. Okay, any questions or comments about that paragraph? Well, this is what's happening if you're in any kind of relationship right now that you don't feel fulfilled in. So if you have one like that, it's because somehow or another You're looking for that person to complete you. And you're making what they do determine your joy. When you do that, you've completely given your power away. Your power is gone. Because now your happiness is in my hands. And I'll make you jump through hoops to get it. Especially if you think I'm the one that's the source of it. That's not love. That's fear. All right? Any thoughts? Any questions?
I have a question.
Okay, great.
I think that I might be that person for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
So how do I go to them and convince them it's not the right thing and kind of separate myself? Because it's a really, it's like that whole feeding thing. It's like constantly like that. How do I convince him it's not the way he wants to go? Or how do I separate myself from the situation when it feels almost like it felt impossible just because he's so kind of like trying to leech off of me?
And what is it that stops you from just choosing out of the relationship?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Probably the addiction that I have the power for him to, you know, think and say and do what I think he should be doing.
Bingo.
So.
All right, so really you're the same. He's feeding you, you're feeding him, right? So the more you recognize your value, then the less you have that need.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you no longer have that need, then you'll be able to detach from the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So if you accept the truth for yourself and you start removing the blocks to loving yourself, that situation will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have peace within the situation that you're in if you recognize that you and he are the same. That you both have cause for love, that you both have a sense of scarcity that needs to be fulfilled. The ideal way would be for both people to realize they have that, to make the decision that they're going to change their mind about themselves individually, but at the same time, since they know they have this need for recognition, to give it to each other. So I know that I have a need to be reminded of how beautiful and wonderful I am. You do too, but we also know we need to get to the point that we don't have to have that in order to feel good about ourselves, right? So if I care about you, then I'm going to remind you that you're beautiful, that you're innocent, and that you're valuable, while at the exact same time, we're both working on removing any block from us recognizing that ourselves by doing our own personal growth work. So that way you're playing both ends. To me, you're playing both ends against the middle. You know,
yeah.
Hey, I got a call for love. You do too. We can answer that because we really do want each other to experience love. In the meantime, we know that it would be healthier for us to remove whatever blocks we need to remove in order to love ourselves. So we would be doing whatever work we need to do spiritually or mentally or emotionally to do that. The average person wants everything to change, but they don't want to change themselves. So they go sort of like, I just heard what you said, so therefore my life should now change. Right. I came to the class, so now my life should change because I heard how to bake the cake. So when I go home, there should be a cake on the table. Don't work like that. Right? You know, I want to bake a cake, you give me the recipe, then I apply the recipe, then I bake the cake, then I eat cake. The average person goes, give me the recipe, where in the hell is the cake? Okay, and then they go, oh, I know what the problem is, I need to get another recipe. So they go get another recipe and go, where in the hell is the cake? You know what I'm saying? And that's the same as people on a spiritual path who jump from one teaching, read it, go to another teaching, read it, go to another teaching, have you read the latest book? Read it. Have you heard the latest book? Read it. And so they got all of this, all of these recipes and no cake. You can always tell when a person is actually applying the recipe because if they are, they're probably going through some changes, some resistance, some challenge because they have to go against their old way. But what they'll find is that when they start applying it, their life begins to go easier after that initial period of scaring yourself because you tried something new. So if you think you've been doing the path for years, or you've been working on yourself for years, yet nothing has changed, I bet you got a heck of a recipe library. Okay, that means you can point out to me that you've read 40 books. That's all it means. you've read 40 books. And you're probably as confused as you can be, too. You know why? Because one book will say, be very specific about what you want when you visualize in order to attract it. The other book will say, whatever you do, don't be very specific. Be open to the universe just sending it to you. Y'all know exactly what I'm saying. So the Course says, what we do then, and this is the other trick, what we do then is we go to each one, right? We pick out the parts we like. Right? So I studied this book. I heard a couple of sentences I like. I tool that out. So what we end up doing then is only believing what we already believe anyway. So no growth has happened. Mm-hmm. And then everything that would have challenged you to change was the part that was the resistance. And so I didn't read that part. So I didn't change. So when you make this, and that goes by the name I'm making up my own truth. When you hear a person say, well, I have my own truth. That's all that means. I picked out what I like, and now that's my truth. But you know my issues? I didn't deal with them at all, because as soon as I read something that had anything to do with my real issue, I felt resistance, and then I opposed it, and I didn't allow myself to be challenged. So it's like I was talking to a friend of mine last night. It's like, they asked my perspective of something. When I gave my perspective of it, which was opposite, right, in that case, they said, I felt some resistance to what you said. I said, that's fine. That's okay. As a matter of fact, follow your own heart. I said, but he was also conscious enough to say, and because I feel resistance, I really want to step back a minute and take a look at what you said. Because I felt resistance, let me take a look at that. Because, see, that's a very conscious statement, rather than us getting into a debate about who's right or who's wrong. Because it was okay with me if he didn't do anything I suggested. I wasn't attached. But at the same time, he was conscious enough to know, well, I asked for this person to give me their perspective, which is obviously different from what I was thinking of. I'm feeling some resistance. This might be a perspective that I need to take a look at. And I also said, I'm more objective to the situation than you are, because it was something that was a relationship issue. So certainly I'm not as caught up in your relationship as you are. So probably I can see it from a perspective that you are not looking at it at. Because one of my favorite lines from the Course in Miracles is, he says, no one, and remember this one, no one with a personal investment is a reliable witness. Now let's keep that in mind. When you go to somebody for advice, if they have an investment in the outcome, they're not reliable. You know, you don't go to your boyfriend to ask, is it you think it would be a smart thing to go out with the guy you met at the restaurant yesterday. He probably has a personal investment. So he wouldn't be objective to ask your family about you moving out of town and you in a close family because you got a job offer. They're probably not the best witness, because they would want you to be near. You see what I'm saying? That's why we have the deepest therapist sometimes on an airplane, where you sit next to a total stranger, and before you know it, by the time y'all land, they know what color underwear you got on. You know what they call it? Because you just talk. Before you know it, you just blah, blah, blah. Because you don't think you're going to ever see each other again. You can talk. So the person with no investment would be the person you would go to for advice. Not your best friend if they got an investment in the outcome. I always tell women, don't go to other women to get insight into men. They always go talk to each other. That's the worst mistake you can make. Go to your brother that's male, your cousin, your best male friend. Go to a man to talk about men, to get an insight into men. If you know, I go to my sisters, and they warn me what I was being for. And everything they said was so right. It was so right. But it was also so helpful. Also, because they gave me a perspective that my buddies would have never given me. So, same thing. No one with a reliable, nobody with a personal investment is a reliable witness. You know, so there is a need being met by that connection, especially the connection you think you don't want but you can't get away from. people always talk about that. They got this connection that they think they don't want, but they just can't get away from. And they need to understand they can't get away from it because what they're seeing is something that's going on in their own subconscious mind that they are attracted to, that person is somehow reflecting something back to them about their own mind. And they're drawn to it. And so they don't want to let it go, and you don't have to. You could ask spirit to come into it, use the situation that you're already in to show you a new way to deal with that situation. Because there is a way you can use any situation to heal, but you don't have to suffer to learn.
Speaking of suffering, there's something I want to put out to you and see what your response is, and I'll probably just mutter my way through this, but I feel like being here and reading and doing things, I feel like I've been baking some cake, and I'm seeing relationships take on a whole new lightness, and people sound different, and husband saying, oh, you must be getting more sleep. What's this be around? Just different things in relationships that didn't seem to be so good just kind of dissolving like steam in the shower. I mean, nothing escalating, and it's been really great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked into the whole thing and betrayed someone's trust. And now I'm good to be in guilt again and all that thing. And like every time I step it up and I'm really enjoying things, my ego steps it up.
Right.
Wham, right.
That's right.
Damn it.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, first of all, you have not had a chance to totally transform your mind. So there are parts of your mind that still have the guilt and the fear and all that other stuff. So therefore, it would still bring up from time to time situations and circumstances that seem to make you feel guilty. But you're supposed to be like proud of yourself for any progress that you make because you're still at the beginning. Readiness is not mastery. You know what I mean? And your old self doesn't want you to change. So the old self creates old situations to convince you that what you're trying to do isn't going to work so that you can have this good period and all of a sudden you get smacked. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to go, ah, this stuff don't work. I'm going to go back to the old way that I used to deal with things. So when the Course teaches that in situations that are most upsetting, those are the situations where you should apply the truth even more. So if right now you're dealing with a situation that's upsetting, you should double whatever you were doing when it looked like things were going good. Because you want to convince your old self that whenever it messes with you, you're going to go deeper into the direction of love and truth, which dissipates it. Okay? Then that part of you that wants to keep you the old way, if it knows you're going to always go to the truth, then it's going to leave you alone because the more you go to the truth, the more your old self dissipates. So in interest of its own self-preservation, it will stop giving you such a hard time when it knows you're going to go to the truth. But let's say you're one of these people that you're working on this stuff, and then as soon as you have some challenge, you dump the new truth that you're working on and you run back to the world's way, which is always projection, blame, and attack. We know the world's way. Somebody else's fault. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be happy. I'm mad at you. We know the world's way. So it says, go back to the old way of projection and blame because this stuff doesn't work. So the Course teaches that in the beginning of trying to make a major change, we are going to introduce our own obstacles to make us try to stop. And that we mustn't be fooled by that. So what you're doing, you are baking a cake. And that's why you're going through this, because you're trying to make the change. That's why that question came up for you, because it's very rare that a person that's really trying to apply this stuff is not going to have some questions. Because they're dealing with situations. You know, so this is proof you're actually baking the cake. It's a good thing. Now, your guilt is just a call for love, and whatever that person is trying to say, that's just their call for love. You can't be responsible for somebody else's reactions to what you do, but you can certainly choose how you're going to see it, right? So you're seeing it the way that you're learning to see it is the key to your peace. You're seeing it in the way that your path is teaching you. It's the way to get out of the situation. Most people don't have a spiritual path. They think changing their life means trying to be positive. And they don't realize there are laws of manifestation. There are rules to creation. And just being positive is not going to get it. Because in most cases, all being positive by itself, I'm not saying don't be positive, but all that means is I'm going to pretend I don't feel what I feel. And I'm going to pretend I don't believe what I believe. And I'm going to sweep it under the rug. And then I'm going to pretend I feel good when I feel bad. I'm going to pretend I feel happy when I feel sad. I'm going to pretend I feel... So what they're doing is completely creating conflict within their lives, or they don't know it, because they got one level of themselves pitted against another level of themselves. You follow that? Okay. That's conflict, right? Then that conflict will then be mirrored back to them through what appears to be the conflicts that they're having in people in the world. And then they're going to say, but I'm so nice and I'm so positive. Why is this happening to me? And they don't realize, because you're in denial. And it's not a river in Egypt. And it is like you got some anger, you have some fear, you have some insecurities, you have some depression thoughts. You're pretending that you don't have them. That doesn't stop those thoughts from magnetizing other thoughts and situations, because all thoughts do. So you meet and you draw to you people who reflect those denied thoughts. And so it's all of a sudden it looks like you're the nice person that's meeting all the crappy people. But you don't know those are your own subconscious crappy thoughts. Okay, but you're pretending you don't have them because you're trying to be positive. So you're not going to do any shadow work, as we call it. I mean, taking an honest look at every part of yourself. And so these people keep showing up to show you, but you have these qualities. That's why I'm showing up. You have these thoughts. So if you just own it, and that's what's so good. If you just own it and go, you know, I do have feelings of fear. I do have feelings of anger. I do have feelings of depression. I do have feelings of jealousy. I do have feelings of fear. You're not creating it by admitting what you feel is not creating it. This is just acknowledging what you've already done. Okay, since you're owning it, there's no need for the universe to show you what you're owning. Since you're not in denial, there's no need for the crappy people to show up, because you know you have some crappy thoughts. And you're admitting that they're yours, that you have some fear. So metaphysics and spiritual manifesting is different from the way the world teaches. So if you come to what they call a metaphysical or a new thought kind of teaching, it's completely different from what the world teaches us, number one. It's saying you are powerful, you are a creator, your thoughts do create your reality, you magnetize who and what you are, you are not a victim of the world you see, and you were created by love. And what created you is not punishing you or seeing you as guilty or seeing you as sinful. Love is the basic premise of new thought. And so people who believe they are victims and like to blame everybody else for what they're going through or their environment or their parents or their race or their sex don't like this teaching. Okay, it is their least favorite teaching on earth, and they'll warn you that you're going straight to hell for even beginning to believe you could possibly be innocent and sinless and guiltless. So either you're ready to know your innocence or you're not. You're either ready to go from believing that you're sinful and guilty and bad, or you're not. This is what I found. You can't make a person be either one of them. Either people show up in my class ready to change their mind, or they show up ready to defend the position that they already have. But it's very difficult to get to make somebody into something different. So on the new thought path, you correct the things around you by correcting yourself first, which is what you said at the very beginning. I started studying this and I started coming to the classes. Me, you said, and I noticed the things around me were changing and people were changing, and even my husband said she must. Now, notice, you didn't say anything to your husband. You didn't say anything to those people, right? But you noticed that they seemed like they were changing. But who changed? You. I give you a hint. It was you. Okay? All right? That's true for every single one of us. That's true for every one of us in this room. Now, you hadn't completely changed your mind, or you wouldn't be on the spiritual path. There would be no need. So since you had not completely changed your mind, then there was some parts of your mind that still believed that you're guilty, still believed that you're not enough, right? So what you did was you saw a reflection of some of the thoughts that have not been transformed in your own mind yet. That's all that you saw. It was just, okay, this is a thought that hasn't been changed yet. And this person reflected back to me my subconscious guilt about myself. So when you're on the path and you're trying to change, you must have tolerance for your old past weaknesses, or the whole thing's going to be hell for you. Because you're still going to see the results of some of your old way of thinking, until it's completely dispelled. So expect that. And then when it happens, it won't trip you out. So on the path to peace, don't expect to feel peaceful all the time. When trying to have a loving relationship, don't expect it to be loving all the time, because you're not completely transformed. Does it make sense to everybody? It's like, don't look to get 100% peace when you know you don't have 100% peace in your mind. That's all I'm saying. And then you'll be okay when those little things do show up. You won't freak out. You'll go, oh, okay, that's just something that's not resolved in me yet, that is going to be resolved, just like the other stuff was resolved. Okay? Okay.
But I did good by coming here anyway.
That's what I'm saying. If your old self had been successful, you wouldn't have read and you wouldn't have continued to come where you were getting support. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. So you're right. That's what you should be proud of, because that means the part of you that loves you and wants you to know that you're innocent and lovable mm-hmm. was stronger than the part of you that wanted you to believe you weren't. Because mm-hmm. you know when you come here, I'm never going to condemn you. You know that. So a person who needs condemnation would never come to my class. People who feel guilty avoid the truth. So that's why when people are feeling really guilty, they're most prone not to come to a class. Because if they come to the class, they're going to hear, oh, that's just a mistake. You're really innocent. You deserve to be helped. When I'm trying to punish myself with guilt, I don't want to hear that, because I'm trying to punish myself right now. Thank you. I think that the way out of this is to feel crappy about myself. And if I come here, you're going to tell me I'm okay. So I can't give myself the punishment that frees me. If I come here, I need to go somewhere where they tell me I'm going straight to hell. And then I tied. Yeah, I get a guy that's telling me I'm innocent of buck, but I tied to the one that tells me I'm going to hell. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting to have done this for years and watch how people react to the idea of their own innocence and being lovable. How they are totally resisted at a subconscious level, but totally feel comfortable around people who criticize and condemn them and put them down. As a matter of fact, seek them out. Be the first one they call when they get home. You know, so you move into a brand new paradigm. And the in-between part is disorienting. So be patient. Be patient with yourself. Yes, brother.
So I was told, so things that are changing when you are applying that uh-huh. you see change in. Mm-hmm. Although the things that, so you're seeing change on all over here, mm-hmm. but the things that you aren't seeing change mm-hmm. in, that's just stuff that you have not resolved yet.
That's right.
And if you see change, then you're applying the truth. And if you don't see change, then you aren't applying the truth and you aren't seeing correctly.
Right.
So if you aren't changing in all aspects of your life, then you aren't growing in that one aspect?
Whatever aspect that you are not giving yourself peace in, that's the place where you're not applying the truth. That's all I'm saying. Because remember, we're saying that the purpose of the Course in Miracles is to give you a new perception, which is interpretation of everything that's happening in your life, so that you can have more peace about it. Okay? So if you are constantly upset about money, but let's say you had a relationship and you were able to change your mind about it, and you say, oh, my relationship is getting better, but my financial situation, I'm still putting myself through a lot of hell about that. Well, all that simply means is, You're not applying the truth to your financial perception like you apply it to your relationship perception. That's all it means. Because it isn't the money situation that's making you mad. It's the way you are interpreting your money situation. And it's what you are believing about your money situation that's really causing your feeling about it. Like somebody would say, you mean me not having money enough to feed my family? There's a way I can have peace about that? Yeah, there is a way you can have peace about that. There is a way that you can look at that that will not cause you as much conflict as the way you're looking at it. And if you learn how to look at it that way, it'll calm your mind enough to maybe hear the answer to how you solve that situation. So remember, we're trying to get peace of mind so we can what? Hear our guidance. It's our guidance that'll get us out. It's like your guidance was telling you, don't give that person your phone number. You didn't hear it because you were telling yourself, this is the one. Okay? So had you been centered, you would have heard yourself say, no, that's not the one. But my fantasy means more to me than the voice for God. So I had made up that this is the one. And I didn't want to hear anything else. And you see that happen with your friends all the time. They'll say they just met somebody, and you'll go, oh my God, that's the worst person in the world. But in their mind, they built them up to be something that they're not. So you represented the voice for God. You were saying, well, you might want to look at that different. You might not want to go in that direction. They didn't hear it. Why? Because they would listen to the voice they made up, which was, this has got to be the one. You see what I mean? So the Course is saying that that's also happening internally. That you're coming up with your fantasy, and you're not hearing what your truth in you is telling you. And that's what's happening in every situation where you feel fear and conflict. That I'm listening to something besides the truth. Okay? And that's what the Course is trying to teach us. How to tell the difference between when we're listening to the voice we made up and when we're listening to the voice for God. That's all it's trying to teach us. You know? That's what I think I need to know. I thought I knew, but the results tell me I don't know as well as I think I do. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Okay, is that all right, Chuck? You get it? Yeah. Okay.
Channeling.
Yeah, it's like I'm as much the learner as anybody in here, and so I'm listening just like you are. What I'm learning after so many years is that everything is simpler and easier than I make it. That the truth was just the opposite of what I thought. I thought the deeper I got in it, the more complex it was going to become, and you know, it's just the opposite. It's hardest at the beginning, and then it gets easier the more you apply it. So what seems to be very simple, that I can say right now very matter-of-factly, very simply, when I first got into it, it was totally beyond me. Because I didn't realize at the time that there was a part of me that was complicating everything so that I couldn't hear the truth. So I was trying to make everything really complicated. So I couldn't say what she said earlier. The truth is, you are applying the truth. A part of you is afraid, so it's trying to dispel your enthusiasm about it by creating thoughts, feelings, and emotions that make you want to give it away and not do it anymore. The way you get past it is to study more when you think your resistance is the greatest and it looks like it's not working. If you do that, you'll convince that part of you that's trying to stop you that every time it messes with you, you're going to go for the gusto even more, and that'll make it back off. Now, I know that's absolutely true and that works from experience, not from theory. But I also know, as any parent knows, that in most cases, your child is going to go ahead and learn the hard way anyway. Right, that's just the way we are. Because we think we're so special that we're different. It might be true for you, if you put your hand on the hot stove, you'll get burned, but not me. If I put my hand on the hot stove, I won't get burned. You know what I'm saying? We really think that way. Or like you're with somebody, and they're totally judging and condemning the person they was in the last relationship with, totally giving away the hard time, and you tell you, but totally nice to you, but your specialist tells you, they would never be that way with me. You know what I'm saying? Because you think you're different, even though they're revealing to you how they treat people when they're not special to them. So what you're really seeing is their day-to-day regular way of expressing themselves. So if I'm with somebody, I'm paying more attention to how they treat everybody around them, and I'm paying more attention to how they're talking about their last partner than anything they're going to say to me. See, that's what the truth is. See, the truth will teach you little things like that to keep you from getting jammed up. Because I'm special. So they certainly wouldn't treat me like that. You know, but I don't know. I've never been to a wedding where the people said in the wedding, I'm going to hate you, despise you, and try to take you for every dime that you get. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, of course, in the beginning, they're in their right mind. The trick is to stay there. Right? Right. But why don't people stay in their right mind? Because, let's loop it back. I'm with you to get something. I didn't get what it was that you were supposed to give me, whether it's the kind of treatment I wanted, the kind of behavior. You were supposed to make me feel more valuable than I could make myself feel. I'm judging you to see how good you're doing that. You're not doing it so good. I'm mad. We're going to have an argument now.
I'm on half.
Yeah, right. I'm on half. And that's all stemming from what the book said in that first paragraph, scarcity. If you really want your freedom, it's like when I moved out of my marriage, because I had to go, okay, especially when I realized the truth about it, I didn't try to hang on to any material possessions. That wasn't more important to me than my freedom. I wasn't going to fight about something I could reproduce and attract to me again if I focus on the truth. That wasn't going to be more important than my peace. You think I'm going to spend 6 months arguing with you about a friggin' sofa? But if you're full of lack and you're full of scarcity and you don't believe in the power of God and the universe, yeah, you are arguing about every little pillowcase. Right. And that's not evil. That's not bad. That's just what people do who are afraid and don't believe there's enough. That's all it means. That's a person that has lack consciousness. And so when you're in a love consciousness, you release because you know you can recreate it. So you don't worry about it. When you're in a fear consciousness, you always try to possess and hold on to everything because you think there's not enough. So you reach a point on the spiritual path where you just won't join with somebody like that in the first place. That way you don't have to go through it, but then you have to not be that way yourself. Everybody with me? Okay. Let's do a little bit of the next one. See, I want you to have peace, and I want to have peace. I want you to experience the love that you deserve to experience. And I know that the only reason why you wouldn't be is because of something you've learned or something you're telling yourself. That's all. And I'm here to support you in going beyond limited ideas about who you are by reminding you that you deserve more than sometimes you tell yourself you deserve. What I would like to invite you to do is side with me and go, I'm going to join with you in this idea of my own joy. But you know what's really funny? You're going to get in touch with the car unit that goes, suspicion, suspicion, suspicion. Even though all you hear me saying is positive, loving things about you, you'll find there'll be a part of you going, suspicion. Okay, that's the part that attracts the people who are like that to you. Now you know you have that part. Now you know that it's no accident that you attract a person who's suspicious of you. You're suspicious of me. So your consciousness attracts suspicious people to you. But until you are presented with love, you don't see that part of yourself. It's not until I say, you're completely innocent. You're as innocent as a newborn. You have never sinned. Now, if I say that to you, the part of you that believes you have is going to go, well, you don't really know me. You don't know what I did prom night. I'm telling you right now. You should have been there. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I say, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent, you're innocent. You go, well, there's a little part of me that feels guilt. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're presented with love, it brings up everything unlike itself. But if I was to say, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're bad, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're bad, you're guilty, you're guilty, you would go, well, I'm not that bad. See, the opposite comes up. You see what I mean? Yeah. So now you, so you have to consciously go, I'm going to side with the thought that I deserve to be happy. I know that thought isn't as strong as it should be in me, so I'm going to join with somebody who's saying that to me so that I can strengthen that idea in my life. And when I strengthen that idea in my life, I will draw to me the people and situations and circumstances that reflect that value back to me, because if my thought is created, the only way I can make a thought strong is to hear it, share it, repeat it. If I think I'm guilty, then the thought that I'm innocent is not very strong in me. So I need to hear I'm innocent 1,000 times a day, because I need to strengthen that idea. So what happens? I hear it a little bit for an hour with this weird black guy. All right. Then I leave, and for the other 23 hours, I hear what the world teaches, which is reinforcing what? The fear. And then what do? Recreate it. That's what we see happening right now with the gas and the food and everything else. The idea of lack is being reinforced, and people are lost in the fear now. So what we're doing is very powerful and helpful, because one truth thought is more powerful than thousands and thousands and thousands of the fearful worldly thoughts. 1 hour spent here is stronger than 30 hours of listening to what the world is saying. So the part of you that loves you is functioning. It created me. It drew you to me. And it'll draw you to other people like me who are saying that you are valuable. But you created this. I didn't come first, and then you showed up. It's the other way around. You decided to love yourself more. You decided to support. Then I was drawn into your experience. So that's the proof you already have loving thoughts inside of you, because you got someone saying to you, you deserve to be loved. So you don't have to wonder if you have a love for yourself. I'm the proof you have love for yourself. Now, will you crucify me, or will you support the idea? And that was the whole issue with Jesus. You know, I love how Jesus fed people and healed people and all kinds of stuff. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, it's still incredible lessons to be learned from his story. And the part that blew my mind the most in the Bible was he was hanging up on the cross with two burglars, from what I understand. I'm not a scholar. The people had a chance to choose who they were going to free. They freed the burglars. Have you ever had the experience of somebody you helped the most being the one that appeared to turn on you? I have. You probably have too. Where it looked like the person you were being the most kind to was the one who appreciated you the least. That's the way people are when they don't love themselves. If you don't love yourself, you attack the people who help you. And you fall in love with the people who hurt you, because you believe you deserve to suffer. So you're going to be attracted to the person who hurts you. So think about that the next time you want to fix somebody. The next time you choose somebody that you're going to help, even though they don't want your help, or they act like they don't receive it. If they don't love themselves, don't be surprised if they at some point project on you and attack you, even though you were trying to help them, because they don't think they deserve it. So when you help somebody, take responsibility that they may respond in a beautiful way, they may respond in a way that's a call for God. Or you could just give them to God. And you could go, you know what? I didn't create you, brother. So I'm going to give you to what created you. And then I'm going to tell the Creator, if there's anything I can do, then I'm willing. But really, I didn't create you, so you're not my responsibility. I trust that you have God in you. I trust that you have power in you. I trust you have intelligence in you. I trust you have a connection to spirit. I trust that you have a guide in you. I trust that there's something inside of you that can take you to the realization of how beautiful and wonderful you are, just like there's something inside of me that can do the same thing. So instead of trying to control you, rule you, be in charge of you, I'm going to free you, because I trust that you're just like I am. See how different that is? So I don't have to fix you, because you are capable of making your own connection. And if it's something I can do, and spirit can teach me what that is, I'm willing to do it. See, that's different. That's different. I believe in you, so therefore I would not feel a need to fix all of you. That's the way it works. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do the love offering. Thank you. I do the Course in Miracles on a love offering basis, even though I teach it full time. That's all I do in the world is the Course in Miracles. And
that's not all you do.
That's what I do in the world is a Course in Miracles. I do it on a love offering basis so that regardless of a person's financial situation, they can still feel free to come. And I trust that Spirit is going to provide, and that's the way I live. So thank you. Thank you for coming.
Let me give you this.
I do one-on-one sessions. I'm showing you how to apply this to maybe some situations that's going on in your life. And people who are open to it, I'll also done astrology and numerology for years. So if you would be interested in doing a one-on-one to get past something that you know you've been trying to get past for a long time, or to get clear on how to best use this time, just take one of these with you. And it explains the sessions. Also, if there's anyone here that would be interested in signing the contact list, so I can let you know about workshops and classes and stuff that I'm doing. Anybody? You can also go to my website, EarlPurdy.com, and you can also sign up there. And I have over 300 of my classes online that are available for people to listen to or download and stuff like that. Why? So we can remember it. So we can hear it. Over and over. So if you want to think of my class as more of, I'm coming to this class so I can be reminded of the truth about me, more so than I'm coming to this class so I can figure everything out, it'll be much more valuable to you. It's like, I need to hear some loving thoughts about me. I need to be reminded that I do have some power. I need to be reminded that I can have relationships that work, and I need to be reminded of what I need to do to let go of the blocks. And boom, then this is the right place. Because you're just going to be reminded. Sincerely. Because I believe that you all are all part of me and that we are one. And that what makes us think we are not is our bodies. Think you got yours and I got mine. And it looks like they look different shapes and sizes. So now it looks like it's a whole lot of different folk in here. But I think it's just one of whatever it is looking different. And actually looking really cute. Because when I look around here, I just see a lot of cute parts of me. That's what I'm seeing off in here. I'm feeling real good about myself right about now. You know? That's what I try to remind myself when I go into a social gathering. It's like, Earl, you didn't come here to get, seduce, or manipulate. That's what Spirit says. I will send to you what is for you. And you just go in there and you go to yourself, I'm here just to give and receive love. And that's how I go through that ritual right before walking into a social gathering. And I have yet to do that and not go into a social gathering and meet some of the coolest men and women I've ever met in my life. But you have to, again, recipe cookbook, right? Recipe is you should do that, which is what I just said. Cookbook is I'm getting ready to go into this party. I take a minute, I stop, and I go through that process before I walk in the room. So that's cooking the cake. And it'll freak you out, the difference it can make in people just walking up to you. I just had people walk up to me and just literally just hug me that I've never seen before. You know, I was on the mall a few weeks ago and sitting outside the 16th Street Mall, and it was two ladies sitting not far from me. And I did the thing. And I got ready to leave, and as I walked past their table, they just got up and they just hugged me. People wouldn't believe that, but that happens. But I'm baking the cake, and sometimes my cake falls. You know, like you said when I was growing up, my cake fails. Don't run around. Sometimes you'll try it, and it'll look like it didn't work. And most of the time, you'll find it does work. But in the beginning, your ego is trying to convince you this doesn't work. So don't fall for it. That's all I'm saying. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. So if you're ready to have relationships that work and relationships that people love you where you are right now and they want you to be yourself, they're not trying to change you. They want you to be themselves. All you have to do is say to the universe or spirit, I am ready to learn. That's the statement. I am ready to learn. I'm ready to learn what real love is. And when you say you're ready to learn, the Course teaches that people will be sent to you who need you the way you are. Who the way you are benefits them, and it helps them learn their lesson. So to me, a person is being sent by love. One of the ways I can tell is they'll say stuff to me like, the way you are and the way you express yourself, I love it. It's so helpful to me. Just you being who you are is what I need. You know, and I had that happen just last night where a person said, I said, why am I here? It was a beautiful experience and beautiful dinner and everything. I said, well, why did you invite me? And that's exactly what they said. I just wanted you to be here because of who you are and the whole of space of love for everybody in the room just because of who I see you as being. I wanted you to be here. Now, that I can pull that off in a relationship. But I've been in relationships where people were always trying to change me. And they would tell me if I just didn't do this or if I just did that, if I would just change, then they would give me some love. And it's like, and then you be with somebody that goes, you got this 5-star meal and all this appreciation just because of who you are. Now, if I had a choice between those two people to hang out with, who do you think I'm going to choose? You're going to choose the one who does self, who accepts. They do exist. I promise you, they are out there. They're waiting for you.
Right here.
There's an example right there. I'm an example. You are an example. They just are so aware that they won't try to have a relationship with you when you would attack them. And that's, so they're there, but they're watching. But in a sense, they're not introducing themselves to an intimate relationship because they know you don't love yourself enough right now to not be frightened by their love. And so you would attack them and you would be afraid of them. But they're there. You know what I mean? It's like if you saw me and I was going, boop, 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 woo, okay, you probably wouldn't come up and ask for my phone number, right? Now, you're not attacking me, but you think I'm crazy, right? So you wouldn't try to have an intimate relationship with me. Okay, that's the way it is at each level of consciousness up. Beings that are more loving, they're watching you. They're aware of you. They're listening to what you say. They're watching what you do. And so they're not going to enter into a relationship with you when they know that you would be frightened by them or you would attack them for being free. But they're there. And they're just waiting for you to love yourself enough for them to love you and you be able to accept it. Because you know how hard it can be trying to love somebody and they just deflect it. You give them a compliment. No. You try to say something. No. You know what I'm saying? It's like you try to be loving and they, no. It's like you stop after a while because they're deflecting it. But it feels good when you say to somebody, you know, I really think you're a beautiful person. And they go, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's what I want to believe about myself. Or that's what I believe about myself. See how that feels? It feels complete. I think you're beautiful. No, I'm not. I don't really believe that. That's what you said to everybody. I don't even say to me, well, Earl, you tell everybody they're wonderful. But that doesn't make it any less sincere with you. As a matter of fact, I don't believe what people say to me that they only say to me. See, I'm just the opposite. If I'm the only one you tell me that you love, I don't believe you love me. That's a red flag for me. Because if you're a really loving person, you love people, period. So when you wake up, your rules become just the opposite of what the world's rule is. So the fact that I do point out the good in many people actually means I'm sincere because I'm seeing it everywhere. But people usually act like that means you're insincere because they want to be special. They want to feel like they're the only one that gets this stuff. And so that's why, you know, the body is such a symbol of love. You know, you love me because my body is only available to you. But love is bigger than the body. You're bigger than the body. And you deserve to be loved. So Sunday, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next class. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock. So I do three a week. Wednesday, noon, Thursday at 7, and Sunday at 1. Each class has a different energy. There's many different Earls. This is just one of them. I guarantee you there's another one that's hanging out. So I appreciate you all. Thanks for coming. So many people coming out on Wednesday. I appreciate you all. Awesome being. And also those who like hugs are available. And sign the mailing list if you get a chance.
Where do we get?